Well, go, baby, 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 baby, won't you come out tonight? Well, baby, won't you?
Hey, everyone, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Oh, boy, here we are once again, Sunday, and my computer's making noises. Everything's just going. Do not disturb is on. All right. Where is everybody? What?
Bo's here.
Yep. Henry's napping.
Yep.
Matt and Dory are in Matt's office.
That's true.
It's Sunday. Sunday.
We've had like a real Sunday.
What do you mean?
Like a gotta run errands Sunday kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. We had to do some stuff. Not really. I mean, yeah, groceries, sure.
Car washes.
I washed the cars in the driveway.
Yep.
You know, a little pressure washer action. Foam cannon. Henry decided that the foam looked delicious, so we ate a handful of it.
Ew.
Look, it's very diluted soap. He's going to be fine.
Hope so.
He'll make it.
Okay.
What else is happening here? I don't know.
Well, he's napping, which is bigger than what happened yesterday.
Right. Yesterday, I took him for a drive in the morning. I was going to take him to a grocery store. Like, that was my plan. And then I was driving, and then I was like, I don't know. I don't know about taking him into a grocery store. I'm still overly cautious. I'm still as cautious as one should be. Perhaps more so. Anyway, so I just like, and then I was like, meh. I don't know. Because I'd feel real bad if somehow he got coronavirus and then I got coronavirus and then Dory got it and then Bo got it.
So, we feel worse of all about Bo.
And so I was driving and then like he was having a lovely time in the car. And then in the span of like, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, he fell asleep.
Just like dead asleep.
Like sleeping like an infant. Like just his arms were up in the air. And he just was not having it. Like I tried to wake him up. I was like, Henry. And he didn't move. And then I reached in the back and I shook him a little bit. And he went like this. He went.
Matt just made a face.
He scrunched up his face, opened his eye real quick, saw what was happening, and then just was like, nope, back to sleep. And then I had to, you know, I was like, oh, frick, I got to get him back to the house and try to avoid this disastrous situation of he has decided to take a nap when it is not his nap time. And hopefully he'll take a little bit of a nap a little bit later. Didn't happen. And he spent, you know, the rest of his hours waking until we put him, Dory is like, bath is at 5 today. Then I get in there and he's just in that manic, overtired baby mode.
Yeah.
Where he's running back and forth.
Yeah. Matt decided that he has an overtired baby mode, too.
Yeah. Because Dory was like, he's going to get overtired, and then he won't be able to fall asleep.
I was like, he gets really hyper when he gets overtired, and then he won't be able to fall asleep.
I was like, oh, that must be what I do. So I have overtired baby mode. That's how I live most of my life.
Mm.
But, you know, it's been a week, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, he was asleep at like 5:20 last night.
Yes, he was. And he slept pretty well through the evening. And then he had his classic, I'm a Henry and I'm tired today at his normal bedtime, nap time. So that's where he is right now. So yeah. He's napping. And then the next time you hear from us, we're going to probably do the first part of this podcast. And then we're going to live out the rest of our Sunday and then we'll do more podcast stuff.
Yep. After.
So if you have any questions, write in right now. That's not how it works.
Honey, this isn't live.
That's not how it works. But yeah, it's been okay. Look, it was a long week. It was hot as heck.
Really hot.
I did a couple of days shooting outside. And it was, I would describe it as horribly brutal. I got that thing where like I start to sweat into my eyes.
Ugh.
And then what just happens is I just get my eyes get super red And then, like, just an amount of eye boogers, not normal.
Yeah.
And then people like, do you have pink eye?
Oh, God.
I'm like, no, I'm just sweating into my eyes. It's horribly hot. And everyone's like, why do you have two shirts on? I'm like, I always dress in layers. What is wrong with you people? Anyway. Then once I got in the air conditioning of the car, I was just like, cranked it straight into my eyeballs and drove home. Mm. And then Dory and I, we didn't even talk about it last week, but the Great British Bake Off is back.
Oh, yeah, it's back, baby.
So that time of year when Dory and I find a thing we both enjoy watching, 2 episodes in, anybody's game right now.
Yep.
Some questionable departure this week, I think, week 2.
We won't spoil anything.
Don't want to spoil anything, but needless to say, I was, like, surprised.
Even
when Prue and Paul are, like, talking, they're, like, listing, well, this person is near the bottom because of this, and this person has had these issues. And then you're like, the choice is, it's a tough choice. And then I was like, well, based on what they said, it does not sound like a tough choice.
No.
And then all of a sudden, they send someone that I didn't expect to go home.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yep.
Prue, Paul, what's going on?
That's what I said.
I don't know if it's that Matt character, you know, and his dynamices with Noel.
I like their dynamic.
Yeah, but I just don't know what got into everybody this week.
Right. Who is that Matt character? Have you figured that out yet?
I don't know. He's probably like on IQ or something.
What's IQ?
It's a British quiz show news. He's on probably a topical British talk news show.
Got it. I did think it was funny that one of the contestants didn't know who Noel was.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I don't know if they're watching The Mighty Boosh like the rest of us. I'm going to find out his name.
Okay, please do that. Anyway, if you're not watching this season of Great British Bake Off, start watching it.
Yes, absolutely. It's the most calming and enjoyable time you'll ever have watching television. Something about those.
They're Matt Lucas.
They're Matt Lucas. What are you talking about? Oh, right there. Yeah. Yes. So, and there he is at a Comic-Con. So, he's Doctor Who, 2015 to 2017, BBC sketch comedy series Rock Profile. Oh, Little Britain, of course. He was in Bridesmaids. I don't remember that.
So he's a sketch comedy guy.
That's where most of these. Oh yes, I remember him. Yep. I remember him on Little Britain. But yeah, it's always an adjustment, you know. Ever since Mel and Sue, it's always been an adjustment for me.
Yep.
I miss Mel and Sue.
Yeah.
I like Noel quite a bit.
I do too, and I think he's gotten more comfortable with the job.
Yes, and his tight pants.
Yes, and his eyeliner.
Yes.
But I like his dynamic with Matt.
Yeah, I'm still adjusting. I'm adjusting to it.
Okay.
I'll let you all know as we continue. There's only been 96 episodes.
Really?
Yeah. Feels like there's been 900 episodes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
I'm confused as to how their quarantine situation works. But, and also, I would say, chuffed that they got it done.
Me too. I'm impressed.
I guess it's still good. I don't know. When was this filmed? I guess it aired already in the UK.
No, it's airing.
It's airing currently. We're getting it a week later.
We're getting it 4 days later.
Okay.
It airs, no, 3 days later. It airs Tuesday in the UK. We get it Friday.
Okay. So that's, and then Dory and I, we're watching it on Saturday evenings.
Yes. That is the time that we watch it.
You know, we get a little Pasta Sisters, which is a restaurant out here. And then we'll watch a bakings. Dory was like, Dory did something I never do, everybody. She looked at the fees on Postmates. And she was like, what is this fee? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's $18. I'm like,
It was an obscene service. It's
probably
fee.
Like, I was like,
and we have the free delivery. We have whatever it's called, Postmates Unlimited.
Yes.
So you have quote unquote free delivery, and then they tack on a fucking $18 service fee. And I was indignant.
I was like, it's 18. I know it's a lot, but it's probably per item. And I was like, look, are you going to go get it? And she's like, yep. And I was like, oh. Okay.
I was like, between the service fee and then the tip for the driver, yeah. I was like, that's like $40
for four pastas and a salad and a pie.
Yeah, like
Dory got pie.
In addition to that's what I mean. It's like $40 on top of.
Yeah.
So I was like, I will drive to Pico and Wilton and pick this up.
And I thought it was the one in Culver. You know, I live a Culver life. You know, Sony's out there. Everything's Culver-centric to me. So, yes, that was... And then Dory did it, guys. She did it.
I did it.
She went out there, and I was like, oh, we're going to have to move my car. We're going to have to swap cars again, because I have to leave so early on Monday morning. And I was like, oh, I'm on a hiatus week.
Yep.
I don't have to do anything until the table read at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, we got good news. Dory picked it up. It was delicious. The end. That's our pasta. That's our Saturday evening.
It's pretty exciting.
Is anyone else having a good Saturday?
I gotta
evening?
Say, it is very good pasta.
It is. They seemingly make it fresh every day.
Yeah,
which is handy. I still have. We Dory and I still have not gone out to any sort of restaurant to eat.
No, we have not.
I mean,
although I gotta say, driving home, there were a lot of restaurants with tables set up in parking lots.
Yeah, I mean that's the move out here because in Los Angeles County, it's still you still can only do outdoor dining.
Yep,
and takeout, but we have not done the outdoor dining situation, nor do I think I will anytime soon, I say to myself shruggingly. Do you anticipate it?
I don't.
Wow. Dory and I, we've got 5 years of marriage coming up, everybody. 10, 11.
Yeah.
15. If you want to play that on a roulette wheel like I always do, go for it. Dory's edits are coming back for her book.
That's true.
She's got a big Monday ahead of her.
Yep.
Matt's got probably a table read, probably a production meeting, probably a tone meeting at some point in the week for 806 of the Goldbergs. We've shot 5 episodes.
That's
already.
Amazing.
We have had, there's 120 some odd people in the crew. We get tested 3 times a week. And we've had 1 positive test, and it was a false positive. So, well done, everybody.
Good job, everyone.
Way to not go out to super spreader events like Supreme Court nomination things or whatever. We're all steering clear of those super spreaders.
Yep.
and that's pretty much what's been going on. I don't know. Yeah.
Henry's
Nicole said something very funny to me this week.
Okay.
Nicole is a... lovely. She's one of our ADs at work. I consider her a friend outside of work. But so funny. I said something. I was complaining about something. Classic me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, "Well, we can fix. You know, whatever. We can blah blah blah." Like she's presented me with the solution to the problem, and then I decided it was too much effort for the other person who would solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Nah, it's all right." And she's like, "You always do this." I was like, "What?" She's like, "You always complain. And then when I offer a solution, you go, that's fine." And I was like, "You sound just like Dory Shafrir, the lady." It was really interesting to hear it coming out of someone else's mouth besides you.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then I was like, and I really was thinking about it. And I was like, yeah, I guess I do that. You know, I do. I know I do that here. Wasn't thinking about doing it at work. And I said to my therapist yesterday, I was like, you know, and then I just, he's like, "Well, why don't you want to solve?" I was like, "I think it's going to be too much of a hassle." And then he's like, "Well, why do you complain about it?" And I was like, "Because I want people to know that I don't care for it."
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
because it's always a problem that you need someone else. Like it's something.
Yeah,
that you
it's not
can't
something
solve.
I personally cannot solve.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's always something I can't do anything about.
Mm.
So, and Nicole being a fantastic AD and a future director, take over the world type person, she's like presenting me with solutions, and I'm just like, nah, it's too much effort for those people that would have to do the thing.
You know, I gotta say, if you do want to be, you know, a showrunner or director or something, you're gonna have to get more comfortable with getting people to do things.
I just want to be loved. That's all.
Okay. What does that have to do
with
it?
I've never seen quite a shrug from my wife. okay. No, you know how I'm always like, I don't let, you know, so I go and I wait in line at the lunch with everybody else, you know, I'll be like 20th person in line and I'll wait. Most people who were doing my job would just have a PA get it for them. But that's the kind of thing where I'm just like, I don't like to have people do things.
I know.
Yeah. And we've discussed this on the podcast many times over, but it's an interesting sort of thing. And then, you know, my therapist was talking to me a couple of weeks ago about how I need an assistant and how, like, I would have to, like, start to feel comfortable with someone doing something for me. And then I was like, I would have an assistant and I would just pay them and never have anything for them to do because I would feel bad. So, yeah, that's where we're at over here.
Well, at least you're recognizing the problem.
I'm a big problem recognizer. Don't like solutions. Just like to recognize said problem. Yeah. But look, I'm really...
Did you have like a moment of clarity when Nicole said that to you?
I said to her, I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, you know, Dory says this to me all the time. I really thought about it.
Because when she says it, it goes in one ear and out the other. But when you say it...
Well, when Dory says it, I'm like, there goes Dory again. When another human being says it, I'm like, oh, another perspective. You also think I do the thing that I definitely do. Interesting. But it's a... Yeah, it was funny to hear. And sort of like, I've been processing it for like 5 days.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Trying to sort of become aware of it. Or not. I mean, I've always been aware of it, but I'm really catching myself. Sort of now it's like in my head, I'm trying to go like, okay, do I want the solution if it's presented to me, regardless of whether or not someone else is going to have to do more work? So then I have to really think about it. And then if I decide yes, then I will go, please do this thing.
And how does that work out?
I'll let you know.
Okay. You haven't done it yet.
Well, I mean, look, I did. We were doing a scene on the show. We do Smash Ball. The JTP does Smash Ball, which is they go to the Wawa and take the expired fruit and vegetables out of the dumpster and they throw it and hit it with a baseball bat or a table leg or a tennis racket or whatever. And, I was looking at the prop cart and we didn't have a tennis racket there. And I was just like, sorry, do we have a tennis racket around? And we're on location. And Buddy, who's a fucking great prop master, on-set prop master, he's like, oh, we can get one. It's on the, I think there's one in the truck. He's like, do you want it? And I was like, yes.
So that was something that you had to like really think about, like,
yeah,
am I going to ask Buddy
before
to get
I opened the... my mouth? I was like, I'm going to think about this. I bet it's on the truck. And we were also close enough to the lot that it was like if they had to go back to get it,
yeah,
I was also okay with that.
Okay,
because we were going to use it on the turnaround, so we weren't going to use it yet. Yeah, so that was Friday.
So how did that feel when he got it?
Fine, it was okay. Great. No, all right. I mean, look, that's just like a tiny example, but I suppose I normally would do that anyway. I don't know. I guess it's like that's a little different because I'm like I have the solution already in my head and I know what's going to happen. Not when I'm like. When it's a different kind of problem, and then like the solution is all of a sudden two people have to do something, and I'm like, ooh. Anyway, that's what's happening over here this week. Let's all dive in. Think about that a little bit on this next, this little commercial break here.
All right. I'm going to unpack that.
All right. Okay. Everyone unpack that. We'll meet back here.
All right. Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved golfing. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking
yarns. The light bulb's going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're back. Hope you all unpacked what you needed to unpack.
I did.
Great.
Yep.
If you want to email us, you can. All you gotta do is dial that sweet, sweet email numbers. Matt and Dory Gmail or Dory Matt at Gmail. And if you want to call us, you can call us at our email.
No.
Right? 413.
You can call us at 413-461-BABY, but you can call us at our email. By emailing us a voice memo.
Well, there you go. There's a way around any and everything.
Yep.
Okay, so let's see. Dory, you've sent me the rundowns.
I did. And, you know, one thing that I forgot to mention before the break is I just wanted to...
Because I filibustered?
...mention Chrissy Teigen and how sad I was about her losing her baby.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, this is the situation when you live a public life, and it's admirable that she chose to.
It's really admirable.
Publicly, and our hearts go out to her.
Yeah.
And anyone who's gone through that.
I think when someone like her speaks up and, you know, takes people with her on the whole experience, it makes people feel a lot less alone who have gone through it.
Yes, which is why it's, I think, so admirable.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't have to do that at all.
No. And then, like, people were attacking her on social media. And I was sorry? Like, yeah.
For what?
Saying that, like, the photos she posted were too, like, posed or something. Like, it was insane.
Oh, my God.
It was so insane. I was like.
Everyone
shut up.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Please. You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's hear from some eggheads.
Okay. Let's hear from some eggheads.
Okay. This first email is from Kate. Hi, Matt and Dory. Along with your amazing show, I've been listening to the podcast Creating a Family since moving on to IVF and now donor eggs. They have a wonderful episode in which they interviewed donor-conceived children. The episode is enlightening. We'll answer a number of great questions regarding donor-conceived adults. Here's the episode I'm specifically talking about, but there are other episodes regarding donor-conceived children you might find of interest. I will link to this in the show notes. The spoiler alert, TLDR of it all is adolescents who were aware of their conception showed a clear understanding of it, with the majority expressing a neutral or indifferent attitude. They did not differ in their psychological adjustment from those teens conceived via third party reproduction who had not been told, or those teens conceived naturally.
Hmm.
Interesting. On a personal note, now that we've moved on to donor eggs, I can't stress enough how absolutely no different the process feels. I thought I would be upset when my husband's sperm was mixing with another woman's eggs, but nope. Those embryos are all mine and I love them. It feels so right. In the end, our goal is to have a baby, and using donor eggs is the quickest, most cost-effective way to get there. The baby will be biologically mine and have a genetic connection to my husband. We will love this baby just as much as the child we have from a spontaneous pregnancy. He or she will be all ours. Best of luck. We're all rooting for you. Best, Kate.
Kate, thank you for emailing, and best of luck on your donor egg adventure, I suppose is the word I'm looking for. I was just distracted because Bo, you know, I said as soon as we're settled,
yep,
that's when he'll,
and sure enough,
he'll come pawn at the door. And guess what? We're reading Kate's email. She took the time out of her day, and Bo couldn't care less. Bo, very rude.
Classic,
apologize
classic,
to Kate.
Classic Bo.
Yes. I'm confused about one part of this.
What?
The teens conceived via third-party reproduction who had not been told, or those teens conceived naturally. How could you test the teens who had not been told?
Because presumably someone knows that they were conceived with donor eggs or sperm, even if they don't know.
All right, so it's like a triple blind.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Unconfused. Thank you, Dory.
You're welcome.
For clearing that up.
You're so welcome. No, that's really interesting. And I mean, this kind of echoes a lot of things I've heard from people who have used donor eggs, donor sperm, donor embryos. I think most of the apprehension and anxiety comes...
I like the idea of the you thinking you'd have pangs of jealousy about your husband's sperm commingling, yeah, with another egg. That is kind of funny to me. What happened?
What do you mean?
We just sort of both went into like some sort of weird daze.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Oh, yeah. So update everybody. Henry's in bed now.
Yes, he is.
We lived a whole day. His nap ended up being 2 hours and some odd minutes. And had we been prepared, we probably could have done the podcast then. But... you know, we're just living our lives, guys. Slow your rolls.
Yeah. Slow your rolls. Slow your bulky rolls.
Were you challah? Good news. California wildfires shatter record. More than 4 million acres have burned in wildfires this year, surpassing 2018's record of 1.67.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk about a shattering.
All right, let's move on.
Yes, I'm here to move. Where do we need to go?
We have a voice memo.
Okay, let's hear it.
From Jacqueline.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. My name is Jacqueline, and I'm calling in from Toronto, Canada. First off, I just wanted to say how much I love you guys and am so appreciative for the podcast. it has been such therapy for me as I have been binging through. I am almost caught up. I started listening back in March just as coronavirus hit and we went into lockdown and our fertility clinic closed. I'm so appreciative of, you know, having the opportunity to learn about, you know, so many people's stories and experiences. And I feel that, you know, this has been so invaluable that I've learned so much and feel so much more prepared, as we are about to start our first cycle, of IVF. So thank you for that. And I'm calling in today also just to share my story, as it is, you know, a little bit unique in that we're not doing IVF for the main reason of, you know, an infertility diagnosis. We are proceeding with it for the main benefit of using pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. We are looking to not pass on a gene that my husband was diagnosed with, that unfortunately predisposes him to the development of certain tumors and cancers. So we feel so lucky that we even have this opportunity, that we can have children without this really, really devastating condition. If we were to attempt to conceive naturally, because this is a genetically dominant condition, there would be about a 50% chance of inheritance. So that's where we are, patiently waiting. You know, with us being from Ontario and living in Ontario, we are very, very lucky in that our first round of IVF is actually covered under our healthcare plan. We did need to put our name down on a wait list. And then, you know, as, you know, individual fertility clinics receive a certain amount of funding per year. They call up a certain number of people per month, and those people are allowed to begin their cycle. So that's been somewhat of a upsetting experience with coronavirus, with our fertility clinic closing down for 4 months, as, you know, our expected start date has been pushed back, you know, 4+ months, which is really hard for, you know, everyone who's in this situation. For whatever reason, they require IVF, any sort of fertility treatments, you know, for something that's so out of your control, to just feel like this is even more out of your control is really hard. But staying positive, using everything that I've learned in this podcast to help just sort of prepare me for moving forward, I hope to be an overachiever, and I hope that we will have success. Thank you guys again so much for everything that you've done for this community. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys, and I'm so happy to hear of your successes. My husband, a 10-year-old, lovely, sassy yellow lab, live all together in Midtown Toronto. Our square footage is only about 1,000 square feet, but we do have a finished basement as well. And we are preparing for winter to come. So hopefully all continues to go well and we get to start our treatment soon. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you. Wait, you can have a basement in Midtown Toronto?
I've never been to Toronto, so I don't know.
I've been
a
bunch
means.
Of times. Well, I guess you can.
Could like, she have like a townhouse?
Well, no, she could have like a house.
Oh, okay.
Toronto's an interesting city. It's a great city, first of all.
I would love to go.
We should go. It's so hot here. We might as well go to Toronto.
Okay. They won't let us in.
Dear
right
Toronto,
now.
Please allow us in. Love me. overachiever. Never heard it.
Me neither.
Dislike the phrase. No. I don't, look, I appreciate the voicemail. But the whoever invented the phrase, because I know it wasn't our caller.
It probably wasn't. Jacqueline, best of luck to you.
Some message board somewhere.
Yeah, and I'm
overachiever.
I'm glad that you guys are finally able to start, and we wish you the best of luck.
What about an underachiever? Like, it's like, I'm just confused.
Okay, let's move
on. It's quite a phrase.
It is.
I like wordplay as much as the next person. Hang in there, honey. Don't worry.
Okay. This next email is from Jess. Hi, Matt and Dory. I wrote in last week about my 25-weeker, and you wondered how old he is. For the first 2 years of their lives, micro preemies have an actual age based on when they were born and an adjusted age based on their due date. The adjusted age is for milestones. My son is almost one, but he acts more like an 8-month-old, which is his adjusted age.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad she wrote back in.
They didn't get the rest of the time to cook.
Right.
Dory was right. We spent 4.5 months in the NICU while he learned to breathe and eat. Luckily, we got out right before the pandemic hit. Besides glasses and a hearing aid in one ear, he's actually very healthy now. I'm wondering if we can get an update from the woman.
Oh my God, babies and glasses are the cutest thing ever.
From the woman who was potentially pregnant with twins after having the 2 C-section incisions, sending the update signal. I also have 2 C-section incisions. I would like to consider getting pregnant again someday. Thanks, Jess, in 2,000 square feet in Minnesota with a husband, 1-year-old, 25-weeker, and 2-year-old Golden. And she included a picture of her very adorable child in very adorable glasses and a very adorable helmet.
I literally was going to say also babies and helmets are cute. And he's rocking both the glasses. Oh, my God. Babies and glasses are so funny to me.
And he's got 2 little teeth.
Henry should have glasses.
Even if he doesn't need them?
Yeah, he's probably got pretty good vision.
Yeah, it's probably decent. Jess, thank you for the update and for including the adorable picture of your son. I feel like Henry had that onesie. Or like something very similar.
It's like animals?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Safari animals or
what
something.
What is up with that?
What do you mean?
Like the abundance of onesies that feature animals.
It's a thing.
But why?
I don't know.
I'm confused by it.
I don't design onesies.
No, but like it seems to be so prevalent and always has been. And seems like it never will not be prevalent.
Yeah, probably.
Like lions and zebras and stuff. And
yeah.
It all seems to be safari animals.
Yeah.
Who is designing these?
All right. I'm going to play voice memo.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. This is Lillian in Flagstaff, Arizona, and this message is in response to Heidi's email about possible grief support. Heidi, I'm so sorry about the loss of your mother, and I'm so happy to hear that you have a healthy, happy science baby. I wrote in earlier this year after the second trimester loss of my science baby, and the support from the pod and the Facebook group has been overwhelming. And I wanted to share a resource that I recently found after asking many, many people many, many questions. It's called Postpartum Support International. And don't be put off by postpartum in the title. This is an amazing
or international
organization that not only has helpful support on the phone line to be able to try and get you connected with others in your community groups, as well as counselors and therapists. I finally, after struggling to find a therapist who got what it meant to suffer infertility trauma and pregnancy loss, grief and trauma, as well as the loss of my father almost 4 years ago, I finally found somebody. And I had like 8 different counselors who accepted my insurance to choose from. And that was just fantastic. So I urge you and any other listeners to go ahead and log on there, text or call the number for support. They can help you. They can connect you up with somebody local if there are local groups. And it's just really wonderful and valuable. And I'm kind of shouting this from the rooftop because I find it ridiculous that nobody told me about this resource, that they didn't even know about it in my local community. So I just wanted to share that. I hope that it that it is helpful for somebody. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Lillian.
Lillian, it is interesting. Like, she had to go figure that out on her own.
Yeah. And sorry for your loss. I know that must have been really, really tough. But thank you for calling in and sharing that resource.
Postpartum.
Postpartum International. So we have one more email about Heidi's email.
Okay.
It's from Sarah. My story is not exactly the same, but I went through and still go through similar feelings. My mom passed away from cancer when I was 12 years old. Due to my young age and the need for me to take on more responsibility to help my dad with my two younger brothers, I never fully processed and grieved her death. This made my major life events, college graduation, my wedding, going through infertility, then the birth of my two sons, especially emotional for me, as it was a reminder that she wasn't there to share it with me, and felt like a fresh wound every time. It's hard and it sucks. I know it's difficult with a new baby, but try to give yourself the time and space to feel what you're feeling and have a cry when you need it. If you or your partner feel like your sadness is outside of your control, as you are still grieving, dealing with postpartum hormones and probably lack of sleep simultaneously, talk to your doctor or seek out a support group. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I wish you all the best with your new family. Sincerely, Sarah from Massachusetts, in 1,600 square feet, two adults, two kids, and one grumpy old cat.
I prefer that people from Massachusetts tell us the town they're in. Thank you.
Mm. Okay. thank you, Sarah, for writing in. I'm sorry about the loss of your mom. That must have been especially tough at 12. Oof. But I think this is really good advice, to just give yourself this space and cry when you need to and just let yourself grieve. All right, we have one more voicemail on this topic, and then we will move on.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Jess. I am calling to respond to the listener who recently lost her mother before she had a baby. I'm also the original caller that you referenced today, who wrote to you in March of 2019 after my mother passed away in February. So I do want to say, you know, all of Kate's advice is wonderful, and I do highly recommend her book, Dead Moms Club, because even though it wrecked me, it hit everything that we were going through and was super helpful. I don't have a child yet. I'm currently 19 weeks pregnant with my science baby. So my mom never got to know that I had conceived. But one of the last kind of lucid conversations that we had with her was to tell her that we had received a grant to do IVF. And so I know that she was really, really thrilled. That being said, you know, for the caller, since my sister's child was 9 months old when my mom died, and she's since had another one, and so I've watched her kind of keep my mom's memory alive. I will say that my nephew has a teddy bear made out of some of her clothes, both of them do, but my older nephew calls it his Nana Bear, and it's, I don't know if it's cute or creepy, but my sister says sometimes when he's alone in his bedroom, he will talk to Nana, and he'll talk to his Nana Bear. And so she says that's just kind of like a wonderful thing, and we do everything that she said. You know, we talk openly about her. I never found a support group, though therapy helped. And I would say the other thing that was always really helpful is, you know, even with family, I think at first we tried to, like, brush mom under the rug and not talk about it because it was painful. You know, but there's been several times where my sister and my cousins and I have all just gone out and just openly admitted how much of a struggle it was, and that's always reassuring to know, you know, that she's there and she's in our memory, and it's also cheesy, but at the same time it's really accurate, and just talking about her helps. Postpartum, my sister has said that she really has a lot of what we call mom moments and struggles a lot because, you know, she's not here, and I know that I go through it too, knowing that she's not here for any of this, and that part sucks, but hang in there. It's awful, but you'll get through it.
I like the callback.
Yeah.
I like, first of all, I assume she stopped listening. Anyone who doesn't contact for a while, I'm like, no, they must have, they were like, I got what I needed. Peace.
Or they're like, I got what but I needed.
But this is the week after.
Keep listening. Yeah, exactly. She is still listening.
Right on it.
Yeah. She's 19 weeks pregnant. Congrats, Jess.
Congratulations indeed.
Wow. Thank you for calling back. We appreciate that.
Nana Bear.
Nana Bear. All right, we're going to take...
Henry talks to animals in his room as well.
Yes, he does. His bear has become the favorite.
Yeah. And it's just a bear. Where'd the bear come from?
I think it was a gift.
Somebody gave that bear to Henry.
It might have been... I might have registered for it. I don't remember.
Oh.
I did put some stuffed animals.
Specificity of registering for a particular bear.
I did put some stuffed animals on the registry, mm-hmm. but I think some people, I think someone might have given it to us. I don't remember.
Dory still has a bear.
I do still have a bear that Henry.
Henry will sometimes borrow.
It's
Teddy.
Very funny to bear nap.
And then he just wanders out holding
both bears.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we're gonna take a break.
Be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
Now, I forgot that I could just look at the giant picture right here on my computer.
Yes, I sent it to you.
Of Jess's baby with the adorable glasses and two
helmet.
Teeth.
I know. It's a ridiculously cute picture.
Whoa. There's a Zumbo signal.
There is a Zumbo signal. But first... Alex would like to know if Matt's Tech Corner can make a recommendation.
Matt's Tech Corner seemingly never closed.
I'm looking for a microphone to record my cat's snoring and sleep sounds.
Oh.
It's very cute, and I feel the need to document it. The microphone built into my iPhone is not doing a very good job picking it up. There's a lot of extra static / fuzzy sounds that make it hard to hear the snores. Thank you so much, Alex, in Hillsboro, Oregon, in a 1,000-square-foot apartment, 2 adult humans and 1 cat.
Well, you know, Alex, I think like any sort of like, that's Bo jingling through.
He's scratching.
He's doing a Santa play. I think, you know, like any like Tascam handheld recorder, you know, things like reporters use. They used to be like little cassette things, but now they're all digital. That would be good.
What about one of those?
Because you can't adjust the iPhone mic sensitivity.
What about one of those mics that like plugs into the phone?
I'm not up on those. Mm. I don't know about those. Mm. I mean, I know of them. I don't know about them.
Okay.
But I mean, if you really, how much do you want to document this? You know, because you could go nuts and get like a Zoom H6N and get a Shure SM58. And a 57. But I would, you know, I'd look at one of those Tascam digital recorders and then, honestly, I would mic it. I would do a SM58, which is like a good instrument recording mic. You know, the flat one I have?
Yeah.
That has, instead of the ball at the top, flat?
Yes.
That's a 58.
Oh, okay. No, this is a 58. This is a 58.
I meant 57.
Yeah.
I get them confused. Sorry. Yep. The 57. SM57. It's $99. Something to plug into it and record with. You can get a Zoom H4N for $100 and some odd. And you can plug XLR right in there. So, look. If you want to hear your cat snoring in high fidelity, that's the way to go.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. The Zumbo signal.
All right, everybody. It's the Zumbo signal.
Hey, Matt and Dory. Can we please, please, please talk about Zumbo's Just Desserts? I have been dying to get to the Zumbo portion of the podcast, but you guys keep teasing me and mentioning it.
Sorry.
But not discussing it. Personally, I think that Zumbo has the personality of a dead fish, and I'm like truly, truly amazed
dead fish
that
are
they
more
put
enjoyable.
Him on TV. And also, I think it's super weird in season 1 that like Gigi and Rachel do literally all of the work while he just stands there. But that said, I definitely binged all of the episodes in about 2 days. ways. So I am super curious to hear your thoughts. And also, I guess I'll just mention, I'm the person who brought up the four tendencies. So Matt, your fellow obliger, is uh-huh. here to say hi.
Hello.
Still not working out regularly.
I'm also obliging.
And Dory, a big Forever 35 fan.
Oh,
I'm actually
you.
The listener who wrote in to hear for you to talk about listening during my first postpartum poop. So thank
nice.
You for
on
being
brand.
Here for me. In that moment. Anyway, thank you guys for everything that you both do. I'm sure you have plenty of days where recording yet another podcast, you know, is the last thing you want to do, but I know we all appreciate all the time and energy that you put into this. This is Katie calling from Vancouver, Washington, in 1600 square feet with two cats, a husband, and a 5.5-month-old science baby with a truly wild head of hair. It's really
oh, wow.
amazing.
Yeah, she didn't.
Oh, and I have a crush on every boy.
Is that Homestar?
Little Homestar. Marzipan. So yeah, let's think about this Zumbo. Okay, so we're not done with season two yet. We've been savoring it, you know.
We have two more eps.
Trickling it out. The Bake Off returning is throwing a wrench into our Zumboing.
That's true.
But yeah. I said to Dory the other day, I was like, he looks like a caricature. Like he doesn't look like a real person. He looks like someone on a beach boardwalk drew your bald friend.
He needs
also
a twirly
like,
mustache.
Also, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. Like, when I also, if you ever get a load of his shoes, he's always wearing like crazy Air Jordans or something.
Oh.
He seems to be into sneakers.
Okay, he's a sneakerhead.
And also, I don't know that I've ever seen anything he's made and gone, I need to have that. That looks amazing.
It's always ridiculous looking.
It's always way too complicated.
Yeah.
Unlike the first showstopper in this year's Bake Off, when everyone had to make busts, cake busts.
Of a celebrity that inspired them?
Yes. I don't want to spoil anything. There was a Lupita Nyong'o. There was a David Attenborough.
There was a Freddie Mercury.
There was a Freddie Mercury, and none of them looked good. Charles Darwin?
I would, in fact, argue that all of them looked bad.
It was quite possibly the worst showstopper I've ever seen. Like, just in the aesthetics alone.
It was as if they were doing Nailed It.
Yeah, it kind of was. They were all trying to, I don't know, like, because you watch those, I guess the Food Network shows, those competitions, it's never one person. It's always a team.
Like a cake boss kind of thing?
Like a cake boss kind of thing, minus the horrible hand accident.
Oh, God.
You didn't hear about Cake Boss?
No.
He got his hand, like, he's fine. His hand's fine. Let me preface that so you can get,
because
this is how Dory watches television. She likes to fast forward to the end before she can hear or watch the story.
Yep.
But he was bowling alley or something recently. And the ball return machine, you know how it pushes, like there's a metal rod that pushes up to release to put the next ball. I don't know what he was doing with his hand in there.
Yikes.
But it went through his hand a couple of times.
Okay.
Cake Boss. He's fine.
Okay.
Just calm down. He's fine. He's going to make it. He's going to boss so many more cakes.
I believe I've said this before, but I think the show is quite enjoyable to watch. There's something.
Oh, it's
colorful. Yeah, it's very colorful. It's very like Willy Wonka.
Whimsical.
Whimsical. The format of the show I still find odd.
It is very strange. The bottom two go into
duke
the Zumbo test. So it's like, who's the best of the worst each week?
Right.
It's not like who's the best. It's like who sucks second most.
Right. It's very weird. Like, and then so then you're stuck watching the two worst people that week instead of continuing to watch the best people who are just sitting there watching the worst people.
Yeah, you're watching the best people watch the worst people.
It's like
very strange.
It's really weird. Like, as television, it doesn't make sense why they would do it that way.
Look, Instant Hotel didn't make sense either, but that was just a hoot.
That was truly enjoyable.
I miss Babe and Bondi.
I do too.
I hope all their Airbnbs are going to be okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of like tourism like within Australia probably. Because no
so.
One can go anywhere.
Right, right. That makes sense.
You know?
No one can go anywhere near here either.
I wonder how the and how the one in the desert with the flies is doing.
Cooper Petey.
Yes.
I'm always talking about Cooper Petey. Jason, our DP on Goldberg's, is Australian. So we always are saying Cooper Petey. And whenever we're on like a terrible location, we're like, at least it's not Cooper Petey.
That place was cool in theory, but the flies were insane.
The
thing.
The heat and the flies. I think it's a beautiful locale.
And it was, the way it was like underground was cool, I thought.
Yeah, beautiful locale. But the flies are insane.
And the way they sort of acted like the flies were no big deal, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it'd just be people talking and then flies flying on their mouths and trying to maintain talking. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, does that count as a Zumbo?
God.
It's a whole lot of... There you go, everyone.
Australian reality TV.
Yes.
All right. Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. I had to write in and say that every time Matt talked about the Zoom that y'all record on, I thought he was saying Zune.
Wow.
Remember those Zunes that came out when the iPods came out? Totally thought that's what you were talking about. LOL, Kim. We heard from someone who listens on a Zune. Remember that?
Yes, we did. It was very funny to me. And I don't look, the Zune made an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. There you go.
Thank you.
But I never had a Zune.
Me neither.
I was always an iPod person. And I never, I don't know, just so, it's such a weird thing. And now you think about it too. It's also like everyone streams everything.
Yeah.
But I still keep local, I still keep all of my songs and stuff on my phone locally.
Oh.
I don't stream it. Because the one time I got on an airplane and didn't have my sounds, I was so sad.
You know, there's a lot of Zunes on eBay.
Looking, what's the price range? Like $30 to $200?
Yeah, so you can get an 80 gig one for $150.
Remember the 100, you probably don't, but there was a 160 gig iPod. I bet, by the way, 160 gig iPod right now, I bet it's still very expensive.
Well, the 120 gig Zune is $230.
Yeah. Go look up the 160 gig iPod. That was the last giant size iPod they made.
Well, I don't have a space bar, so.
Okay, go to iPod. Oh, it was right there.
Oh, it was? iPod 16. Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
Oh, not bad.
$230. Same as the Zune.
Crazy.
Oh, here's one for $125 or best offer.
And then there's $200. So if you have one kicking around and you don't want it anymore, you can sell it.
Does it work with iTunes? Current iTunes? No.
Great question. I can't imagine they still allow it to work, but maybe it does.
So how would you even get music on it?
I think you would just be getting music on it the way... I don't know. That's a great question also. But, you know, it's the only thing that can hold a giant library.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm sure it's great for, like, local, you know, if you have, like, a Sonos system and you plug one thing into it.
All right. Well.
There you go.
Our last email. I'm a little behind the last couple of months, but that last year I put this in my Google Calendar to help you guys remember when people start asking for Matt's turkey recipe.
This is that time, and I have tried to look it up, and I keep not finding it, so keep reminding. All right, thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Speaking of reminders, you can support our podcast on Patreon and get up to 2 bonus episodes every month at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And a big old thank you to our Patreon supporters. And if you're at the $5 level or above, you get your name read on the podcast each month so we can say thank you. And there's a whole back catalog on there if you want more podcasts. There's so many. And a thank you to the following patrons: Jennifer H.S.,
Greg Watchhorn,
Caroline Land,
Melody Baltazar,
Andy James,
Tyler Rosewood,
Anonymous,
Hillary Berry,
Amanda Fujita,
Diana Robinson,
Sarah Friedman,
Sarah Dauberman,
Michael Roth,
Megan K. Miller,
Debbie Meredith, aka Lex Conant's mom. Lex, where you been?
Jessica Manilovich.
E. Fast.
Cynthia Meisner.
Mike Zydek.
Catherine Linnae.
Emily F.
Fallon.
Molly Schranz.
Sadie Massa.
Laura.
Anonymous.
Wolf Fox.
Laura Madge.
Nikki Maraca.
Katie Heimer.
Britt S. Baker.
Jackie G.
Paul Sharp.
Nancy Powell.
Patricia Faust Rezig.
Jennifer Sika.
Jesse Hendricks.
Amanda Lady.
And Liesl. Liesl.
Liesl.
Liesl. Thank you. Liesl. I always go Liesl. And then it's like, no, that's Liesl.
Yeah.
So thank you. And thank you to everyone who continues to listen to the show. Even if you already think you got enough out of it.
Yeah.
Yep. You learn new things every month.
That's true.
And week, like overachiever.
Overachiever.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.